Please stand for the reading of this gospel. Our reading today comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already ablaze. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. All right, you may be seated. This scripture. You remember 2 weeks ago, we had some much cooler weather. It was like the highs were in the 80s, and it got down into the 50s at night. I think we call that a false fall here in the Midwest. Once or twice every fall or every summer, there's usually like the middle of August, the Lord blesses us with a break from the heat, and we get a foretaste of fall. I felt that break from the heat a few weeks ago was a chance to sit out by the fire. Now, there's a fire pit in the backyard of the parsonage that one of the families before me set up. Now, I've never started a campfire before. I've been camping. I guess I've always been lucky enough to go with someone who knew how to start the fire. I'm no Boy Scout, but I thought, you know, how hard can this be? I had that stack of wood that Nicole had with her children's time during vacation or story time during Bible school, and I gathered up some twigs and brush that I had gathered from the yard when I mowed, and I flicked the lighter and got the fodder on top of it to burn, but it would just burn a bit, and then it would go out. I quickly became frustrated that the way that I haphazardly threw my logs into the fire did not build it up, and it just never took off. Well, eventually I did get the fire to go, but the next day in the false fall, I was more careful at how I laid out my firewood. I stacked the wood in a square, thanks ChatGPT. I learned that if you place it sort of in a certain log log cabin pattern, and you stack the twigs and brush in the middle, that you can build a better fire that burns hotter and longer. The warmth of the campfire in front of me and the cool night behind me, it was a perfect balance as I laid out before the stars. Well, whether a bonfire in the fall or a fireplace in the winter, a fire can be comforting. It can be life-giving. And yet fire can also threaten and destroy. And that fire is fundamental, so fundamental to our lives, it's no surprise then that is found all throughout Scripture. But what is probably surprising to us is just how Jesus talks about the fire in our Scripture this morning. Just wow. This Scripture has to be one of the more challenging ones that I have preached for a while. Because Jesus is saying a lot of things that just don't seem like the Jesus that we know. So this is going to take a little bit of unpacking. In verse 49, Jesus says, I've come to bring fire upon the earth, and he wishes that it were already ablaze. Now, all this may sound shocking. For example, just a few chapters before, James and John offered to call down fire on a rebellious Samaritan town, and Jesus rebuked them, saying, I do not come to destroy lives, but to save them. But here, Jesus says he wants to bring fire upon the earth. What do you want, Jesus? Yet scholars tell us that Luke's audience was probably not that surprised when they heard this. They would have known at the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke that John the Baptist said, you remember John the Baptist said that Jesus would come to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. Jewish believers would have known all throughout Scripture in the Old Testament where fire is both the presence of God and a powerful force. For example, in the book of Exodus, God appears to Moses in the form of a burning bush. In Genesis, fire rained down upon the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their inhospitality and criminal behavior. In the Old Testament, fire is the chief way that people made their offerings to God. It was a symbol for how God transforms hearts and lives. God is a refiner's fire. And so maybe this is what Jesus had in mind when he talked about bringing fire down upon the earth in verse 49. Jesus had been talking about the kingdom of God, about bringing it down upon the earth. And Jesus wants to spark justice for the poor and freedom for the oppressed and to grant that all feel the presence of God. And yet at the same time, God, through Jesus, wants justice for the oppressors and wrongs to be made right. And so I wonder if maybe all of this talk about the kingdom of heaven coming down is kind of one way that Jesus talks about the fire of heaven coming down. In verse 50, Jesus speaks of a baptism that's yet to come that brings him stress. Scholars usually agree that this has something to do with the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he showed his solidarity with us and with a world on fire. God is with us through the fires of life, and Jesus dying on the cross assures us of that. Jesus changes hopelessness into expectation, sadness into joy, and life out of death. You see, the fire that Jesus is longing for and the baptism by fire that he's about to face is, well, Jesus' way of fighting fire with fire. Jesus longs for God's presence to be felt by all, for wrongs to be made right. But this transition from the kingdoms of the world to the kingdom of God isn't easy. Sometimes you have to go through a lot of pain to get to the other side. And that's why the cross is so important to us as Christians. It's not necessarily that Jesus had to pay a debt on our behalf, as some traditions emphasize. But the cross shows us that Jesus fully entered into the suffering and injustice of our lives and the world to bring good things from the bad. The cross shows us that when injustice and wrong seems to win in this world and in our lives, that God has a different plan, the resurrection. And we're a place where life can be found in the midst of death, where wrongs are made right, and where rough places are made smooth and crooked ways made straight. You see, although God does not cause the fires in our lives and in our world, i.e. the bad things that go on, the resurrection of Jesus is our proof that God can use them to show us that he is working every day. Now, it's getting real hot in this scripture, and it's a challenge for this preacher. In verse 51, Jesus says that he's not here to bring peace on earth, but division. Now, wait a minute. Don't we think of Jesus as the one who the prophet Isaiah announced centuries before would be the Prince of Peace? I mean, Jesus is the one, right, who gave a blessing, my peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. Jesus, what are you saying here? But in our scripture today, Jesus talks about 5 against 3 in one household and 3 against 2 and 2 against 3 in another, where even close family members are in disagreement. This does not sound like anything I would expect from Jesus. It seems like something maybe I'd see on reality TV, but not from the Bible. But this really does reflect the real tension that following Jesus brings in our broken world. Well, like Jesus' talk about fire earlier in the scripture, all of this may sound shocking to us, but probably not Luke's original audience. You see, a few decades after Jesus' life, Christians who heard these words from Luke in the Roman Empire probably had to make some tough choices to either keep the status quo and pledge their allegiance to Rome or to follow the ways of Jesus Christ and his way of love and justice and mercy. Those who followed this path and made the path to follow Christ in that world of first century Rome faced a fiery path sometimes. It would not be easy. They were often divided from their peers and sometimes even their own family. So this is not to say that Jesus wants division or lack of peace. Clearly elsewhere in the Gospels, it shows that most assuredly he does. But in the perfect world that God created long ago in Genesis, at the beginning of time, there was peace and there was harmony. But because sin entered the world, there is not. Jesus longs for peace, both within as well as without our lives. And the kingdom of God is peace with God and with ourselves and with others. But often the kingdom of God often butts heads with the kingdom of the world. And because of this, there is division. You see, Jesus isn't saying so much that he brings it or wills it or desires division in the world, but it just seems as if God's message really strikes at the core and really butts against some things of the world, as many of us have seen in our lives, and there's just division because of it. Because of sin, we disagree with each other. Now, sin is anything that causes hurt. In my opinion, sin is anything that causes hurt between us and others, between us and God, or between us and creation. When we harm that relationship between God or with one another, when we say or do things that harm our relationship with anyone or with God, that's sin. And you see, Jesus doesn't desire division, but in a world full of sin and injustice, his message inevitably causes it. The way of God is peace and reconciliation. But hasn't there always been something about God that really will sometimes draw a line in the sand or create a boundary? I mean, injustice and oppression are not okay. Saying or doing something to cause harm to someone else is not okay. Laws that oppress are not okay. There's a boundary. There's a dividing point here. And it seems as if that's what Jesus is saying, that the gospel sometimes draws a line. And I think that God is sad when we have disagreements and when there are rifts between us and others. And I don't believe Jesus is saying that he doesn't want peace. I mean, again, we can find a lot of places in Scripture that prove that he does. I mean, Jesus wants peace. It's just that his message of transformation from the world's ways to God's is often divisive. I mean, just look at our country today. People and churches and agencies that are working to bring justice to the oppressed and food to the impoverished and welcome a stranger, they're facing backlash and lack of resources, and somehow that work has gotten to be controversial. Churches are divided about just how far to take the radically welcoming spirit of God. I mean, we've been through this as a church. It hurts. Jesus is acknowledging this today. Certainly Luke's audience would have experienced this division themselves, because following the Prince of Peace often clashed with the idea of Pax Romana, peace in Rome, where in order to keep the peace, you just keep the status quo. And Jesus was saying that sometimes as a disciple, keeping the peace doesn't work. And I think, you see, what this is I think this is a call to justice. If Christians must somehow draw the line sometimes and say, I think this is wrong, so be it. Oppression and injustice, for example, are wrong. Greed is pervasive in our world today. And among all the hot button issues today, some are just very clear in the Bible and are fundamentally wrong. Evil is the manifestation of sin in our world, and it seems to abound. Christians have for too long said that things are wrong, but in doing so, the church has alienated and oppressed. For example, rejection of members of those that we call the queer community, LGBTQIA, is sinful because it alienates, oppresses, and hurts people unnecessarily. So I think that sometimes we do have to draw a line and say that something is wrong, but where I feel that where the church has crossed the line throughout history is we've said something or someone is wrong and it hurts them or it alienates them or it discriminates against them. When we cause division, it is sinful. But I think there are also times where we all know where we need to speak up and speak out and raise the awareness of things. In fact, United Methodist, when we vow to become members of the church, we vow to fight oppression and injustice in whatever forms they manifest themselves. See, it's inherently part of our work as United Methodist to work together with others and with God against anything that unnecessarily hurts. So basically, I think that Jesus is saying here that division is just naturally a part of the world. It sometimes naturally happens when Christians of justice speak up and speak out. But division ultimately is not of the kingdom of God. So in this divisive world, may we follow the way of justice and mercy and radical love and healing, because I think that looks a bit more like the Jesus all of us have come to know. Well, our passage ends with Jesus scolding the disciples for not missing the weather forecast, but for missing what's happening right in front of them. He says they can read the sky, but they cannot interpret the present time. But again, my question for Jesus is time for what? Well, Jesus doesn't tell us, but in this paragraph, it falls in between all of this talk about the kingdom of God. The coming of the kingdom of God is always urgent. It's always right around the corner. The kingdom of God is always at hand, as it says in the other gospels. Jesus has just been teaching about being watchful and about keeping our lamps lit. If you were here last Sunday, being watchful servants ready to be served a fabulous feast. And in the passage right after this, Jesus talks about getting over disagreements. And then if you keep reading on in chapter 13, Jesus brings up two tragedies. One was when the Roman leader killed worshipers in the temple. And another atrocity was when this tower in a town called Siloam fell and killed 18 people. These were tragedies, and these things people were talking about in the day. They were part of the news. Jesus' comment was, unless you repent, you'll all perish unless they did, like they did. In other words, life is fragile. We don't live forever. Every day matters. And there are signs of division all around us. The world often feels like it's on fire. In fact, many of us are going through fires in our own lives right now. And I think that Jesus is telling us that in the fires of life, God is found. The fires that we face are not caused from God, but God can use them to reveal his presence and his goodness in our lives. It's the power of the resurrection. In that God takes the bad, which either sin or happenstance has caused us, and God takes that and uses it in a way for transformation and refining and for blessing. And again, I just can't emphasize enough that I don't believe God is standing up there with a big control board and with levers saying, I'm going to give this to Lisa and this to Michael and this to Connie and I'll pull this string and test Vi. These things happen in our broken world. They do, for many different reasons, but not of God. But God works through them, through the fires of our lives, and through others who respond to us and reach out to us in those times to show his goodness and to bring us the refiner's fire of transformation. Sometimes being a Christian is hard. Looking at the kingdom of God, which isn't here yet, but we do see samples of the kingdom of God. Sometimes being a Christian is hard, like I said. Sometimes it means speaking up. Sometimes it means sacrificing your will or for someone else's or for God's. Sometimes being a Christian does call us to draw a line, to trust that God is working in the fires of our lives, with the power to refine and transform us and the church into the people that he's calling us to be. So in the fires of life and in the fires of in the world, I would say Jesus fights fire with the fires of love. And he invites all of us to join us in this effort, to share the fire of love, the love of Holy Spirit, that the presence of God and powerful works of mercy. I mean, this is the fire that we're tending right here at Broadway United Methodist Church. The fire of Christ that is within us is one that heals and transforms. It's one that inspires us to share his love into the world, sharing acts of love and mercy. And so let's keep on doing it. Let's keep shining our light. let's keep sharing his love. And so all the fires of our world and all the fires in our lives will be met with the presence of God. And by that I mean, and we'll see the manifestation of that, we'll see is transformation and holiness and joy, reconciliation. All the things of the kingdom in this divisive world, we'll see. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the fire of your Holy Spirit that reaches us in the fires of our lives and in the fires of this world. Lord, help us to work for your kingdom in a world of division and strife. In the midst of it all, Lord, help us to know the balance of when to keep silent and when to hold our mouth shut and when to speak up and speak out and draw a line. Lord, send the fire of your Holy Spirit upon us as a church, that we may be your church and your people forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.